Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
In making the team, and that's where it stops. The younger players, as far as, you know, the rookies and those guys, I think they'll pick it up fast. They'll make sure the rookies that need to play will get the reps that they need in order to be prepared for the regular season. And obviously the veterans, they don't necessarily learn on game day. And you take the offseason, they at least got the mental reps, and hopefully they were training throughout so they can be ready from a conditioning standpoint. But I think what really happens is some of those guys who are on the cusp, we're going to see those guys being cut. And in talking to some of the coaches, they said the dudes who can pick up what we have to do the fastest are going to be the guys that get the reps.
That was ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark talking about a shortened preseason. And to talk about that and some other things, we now have our good friend Tim Grunhard joining us for the next hour. Timmy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Some really interesting information came out last night as I was listening to your show, Stephen, as I was leaving crunch time. And you also on with Mike Golick, my old buddy Mike. But yeah, two preseason games, and there's a lot of talk about having no preseason games without, you know, and the idea is that they don't want to put players in a position where all of a sudden you're playing a preseason game and you have the opportunity of spreading the virus from one team to the other, and then next thing you know, all hell breaks loose. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was no preseason games. I think they're leaning towards two preseason games. I think you can get what you need done in those two preseason games. I think the NFL has wanted to get to two preseason games, and now they have the opportunity to do that. When I say the NFL, I'm really talking about the Players Association and most of the players, and I think that the consensus with the owners and the organizations are the two preseason games are plenty. But so yeah, that's where we're at. You know, I'm going in with the adage. I was just talking to Nate. Listen, I'm going in with the adage that, listen, they're going to play. There's nothing I could do about it. There's nothing. I mean, we could be responsible. We could do what we're asked to do, wear a mask, do all those kind of things. But there's really nothing we could possibly do. So I'm going in with the idea that they're going to play. And I'm not going to worry about it until they say they're not. Because you could drive yourself absolutely crazy. I have been answering question after question after question to everybody around town and everybody that I talk to on the phone or emails. And, hey, what's going on with the NFL season? I don't know. Nobody knows. So go in with the idea. And we talked about this a little bit last week. I want to be positive. Listen, there's just a lot of negativity going on. And, you know, it drives me crazy. So I'm just going with the idea that the NFL is going to play, the college football is going to play, and then when they tell me they're not, then I'll cry in my proverbial beer and you know, sit there and pout. But until then, I am going in with the idea that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to play. Now, I did get an opportunity yesterday to talk to some people, and it's really kind of interesting. It was Kathy Nelson. And you guys all know Kathy. She is so awesome, from the Kansas City Sports Commission, the president. And she had some interesting information about what could possibly happen. You know, she's on a national board with all the NFL, Major League Baseball, MLS, all that, where they kind of discuss how they're going to implement a plan to let fans into stadiums. And a couple of things she brought up I thought were really interesting. Number one is that you will have a time that you're allowed to go into the stadium into a certain gate. Okay, so you'll have a 5 minute to 10 minute window to leave your car and go to that gate and check in. Once you walk into that gate, you will be in that section and that section only. You will not be able to go into Arrowhead Stadium and walk in gate A and walk around and go all the way to the other side and kind of mingle around. You will be in your section, and that's the section you will stay for the whole game. Number two, if you want to order food and concessions, you'll have an app. Okay, so you'll go on the app and say, hey, I want some nachos, I want, you know, a hot dog, and I want a beer. And you will get a little information text back saying, hey, your food is ready, come up to this area at this time, and you'll have it in a box or a bag, and you'll go and you'll get it, and you'll go back to your seats. You won't have beer vendors walking around. You probably won't have, you know, the beer and, you know, soda and popcorn and all those things, those vendors that are separate. It'll basically be all in one concession, one big concession, and you'll have a time to get that. The other thing is that there will be social distancing and the issues with the restrooms, which, I mean, that's one of the big things, as we know. I mean, people pile into those restrooms because you're pounding a beer or you're
having... All those places are clean. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So that's one of the things that they're like, you know, how do we social distance in a
restroom?
Bringing
the troughs back.
that might be an issue. So, so they're making plans to get this sucker done. And, you know, and like what Nate experienced a little bit with Sporting is kind of what the Chiefs are going through, too. There's going to be like two or three different tiers of people that are going to be allowed to go to practices and go to training camps and be around the team. And, you know, the first tier will probably be the coaches and, let's say, the trainers and, you know, maybe the GM and the scouts. The second tier may be, you know, the equipment guys and different people that are kind of on the fringes helping out with the practices and those kind of things. And then the third tier will probably be the PR and then the executive staff that's really not involved in day-to-day football operations. So there's a lot of people that are in that third tier that won't be able to go out to practice, won't be able to go out and watch training camp. So it's a whole different world we're going into, but the NFL has put together a plan. Whether it is implemented or not, or whether it'll work or not, remains to be seen. But they have a plan to play football, and they have a plan to have people in the stands, and we'll see how it works out. But we will find out here fairly soon, because this month is when they report.
Let me get this cleared up real quick. At SwimDad61, if any time during the day you happen to wonder if the NFL is going to play or not, ask Timmy what he thinks, and maybe he can get right back to you via social media.
That would be great.
Well, we're opening up the mailbag for Grunny, the Twitter bag.
Open up the Twitter bag.
I'm going to tweet at you right now, Grunny.
Slide into his DMs if you can. You know.
No, I'm going to ask him in public.
I do want to thank Nate. Nate.
Well, hold on.
You know, 10 years ago, Nate put together a Twitter account for me. Boy, thanks, Nate.
You're welcome, Grunny. I've been better ever since.
Do you remember that? We were sitting here in these spots, and you said, "Hey, do you have a Twitter account?" I'm like, "What? Twitter?" I'm like, "No, I don't, I'm not really sure what that is. Hey, let me make you one.
Yeah.
What's your name going to be? I don't know. Swim Dad. Oh, Swim Dad 6. Okay, there you go. It's been hell ever since. So
yeah,
thank
it's like
you.
At the time
that.
You're wow. like, no, my life is generally happy. You know, I have positive interactions with people on a consistent basis. So yeah, let's get into Twitter.
That's awesome.
I can think of one positive interaction that Grunny had on Twitter with somebody.
I've had plenty of them. Yeah.
Oh, I think you know the one I'm talking about, but we'll just, I won't bring that on the air. But
please
what I
don't.
Will bring is
I'll wait for your response, Grunny.
Yeah, I'm waiting. If you want to tweet at SwimDad61, I'd like to see at least a few people ask Timmy if he thinks that they're going to play this year in the NFL.
Ask him about college football, too, just for the heck of it.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You think that you think that my blocking was really good on the football field. Wait till you see it on Twitter. It's unbelievable.
Oh, boy. Could you have blocked Chris Jones?
Oh. Absolutely. But he's not on the field, so it'd be easy to block
him. There it is. Okay, so that's what everyone's been talking about. Did you have anything else to say about preseason, or do you feel strongly about no preseason, two games? If you were a player, is there something you would, in this situation, what would you prefer?
Well, I do feel for some of the younger guys and your the guests that you were referring to.
Ryan Clark.
Yep. Ryan Clark is exactly right. The fringe guys, the guys that are, you know, fighting to make a team, really are really put behind the eight ball because – you know, reps are very, very important in training camp. Reps are very, very important in preseason games, but there's only a certain amount of reps, and you have to use those reps up on the guys that you think are going to give you the best opportunity to win as the season starts. So, you know, usually one or two of the preseason games are given players the ability to, you know, show what they have. So you'll see your first, second, third, maybe fourth round pick getting some reps, and, you know, if a fifth or sixth round guy flashes a little bit in practice, he'll get reps. But it's going to be very, very difficult to get reps in game situations. And I contend that it'll be hard to get reps even in practice for some of these fringe guys because there's only a certain amount of time out there, and there's only a certain amount of time that the NFL is giving these guys to go out and practice. So every rep is really, really important. So I do feel for those guys, but I do think that the majority of the players can get what they need to get done in two preseason games.
Let's move on to Chris Jones now. Speaking of Twitter, I know you were closely monitoring the activity of Chris Jones and Le'Veon Bell the other night on Twitter. And look, Chris Jones, now Chris Jones, he's been the guy that brought it up. He referenced Le'Veon Bell and mentioned not playing. How serious do you take that threat, Timmy?
Well, I take it pretty serious. I mean, if you're going to put it out there, then you better mean it. And so I do take it very serious. You know, I'm not sure if Le'Veon Bell is the best person to be listening to, but he is. But here's the thing. Listen, this is a young football player who's a playmaker. He is a playmaker on the defensive side. I think that he is a guy that deserves to get paid and get paid very well. The Chiefs, it took 50 years for the Kansas City Chiefs to win a Super Bowl, and Chris Jones was an integral part of that win, especially in the fourth quarter with some of the plays that he made, knocking, you know, the passes down and doing some of the things he did to help the Kansas City Chiefs win. So he is a guy that I certainly want on the team. Now, I know that you're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, so that's in the back of the minds of all the cap people over at Arrowhead and obviously the front office. But I think Chris Jones is a guy that you have to pay. He's a heck of a football player that will help your football team be better. But in saying that, there's a price that eventually you outprice yourself, or you get too expensive for your team. And is $20 million that number? You'd have to ask the Chiefs. I think it's pretty close to that number, that it may be just too much. So what do you do? And I heard you guys talking yesterday, and you guys were talking about, hey, you find a way to trade him. You know, you find a first-round draft choice for him. But, you know, nobody really stepped up and said, hey, we'll give you a first-round draft choice for Chris Jones. I think that the Chiefs were open to that. I think the Chiefs would have been happy to do that. But nobody wanted to give up a first-round pick for Chris Jones. Now, in saying that, you guys were talking about the kid Clowney from Houston. Eventually, it got to the point where he was just too expensive to keep, and they were looking to get rid of him because they just couldn't keep him, and they got a third-round draft choice for it. But they took a sigh of a deep breath when they got rid of him, and he was happy to go, and good riddance, and, you know, good luck to everybody. But I hope that doesn't happen with Chris Jones. I hope that they find a way to get it done, because he is a playmaker. The last playmaker that I played with, it was like that, was a Derek Thomas, who was a playmaker on the defensive side. Those are very, very unique guys, especially up front. So, you know, I do think you pay him. But in saying that, we talked about it a little bit, I think it was even last week, that will defensive linemen for the Kansas City Chiefs sacrifice plays and sacrifice some of their the things that they want to do in order to let some of the linebackers that they're trying to develop play and make plays? Because when it really comes down to it, defensive linemen with penetration and getting in the backfield and disrupting plays is great. But if you can't have your linebackers involved in the run game and making plays from depth and coming up and putting hits on guys, you are going to struggle on the defensive side, especially against the running game. So therein lies the crux of the whole thing. Will Chris Jones be a guy that once you pay him, he says, listen, I'm going to do the best for this team. I'm going to pass rush when I'm in a pass rush situation. When it's a green situation, I'm going to put my ears back and I might go after the quarterback. But when I'm getting double teamed, I'm going to fall down to one knee and cause a pile so my linebackers can make plays. I don't know if he'll do that right now. Maybe after he's paid and he says, listen, I've got the money, I've earned the money. Now that I am secure with my finances and all that kind of stuff, that I will do what I'm asked to do on the defensive side, but that remains to be seen. So that's kind of where you sit. Is Chris Jones one of those guys that yes, he's a playmaker in the passing game and he's gotten better against the run, but the Chiefs will always struggle against the run if they have guys on the defensive line that are trying to be these big-time playmakers and putting themselves out of position when they need to be doing the job that Spags has told them to do?
Are you surprised? According to Petro, the Chiefs received zero offers for Chris Jones on the trade market.
I am not surprised. I think Chris Jones is our guy. You know, Steven, you and I had Chris Jones on the show when he was a rookie over at one of the restaurants. I can't remember which one it was, but when he came in, he's got a big smile on his face. He's a great guy, great personality. I've done some things with him with Sprint, and he's just a really nice guy. He's our guy.
He's always great.
Is Chris Jones a perfect football player? No, he's not. Is Chris Jones a hell of a football player that's worth $15 to $20 million? Yes, he is. But just like we just talked about, I mean, there are certain teams that are saying, hey, listen, we like the way Chris Jones gets after the quarterback. And we like that Chris Jones can make plays at the line of scrimmage. But does he fit into what we're trying to do? Now, he's our guy, so we love him. And if you're standing back from a distance, say, yeah, he does do some good things in the passing game, but he does take some plays off in the run. And at times he's undisciplined in the run game. So, yeah, we'd love to have him. Yeah, he'd be great to be on his team. But I'm not sure if I want to give up a first-round draft choice. I'm not sure if I want to get into a debate with him about $20 million a year. So that's why I think nobody really went after him. I think people like to have him. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think that people are want to give up what he wants in order to secure his services.
So what would be the best thing for the Chiefs organization and their chances of winning over the next several years? What would be the best thing for the Chiefs? Not for Chris Jones, but for the Chiefs.
The best thing for the Chiefs is if they can go out and shop him and get a first-round draft choice for him. And remember, here's what happens when you win a Super Bowl. And I know that some people disagree with this. Some people live by it, and some people say this, no way. But what happens is, you know, all of a sudden your guys all want to get paid. And especially at your quarterback position, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to get paid $200 million. Okay, I don't know how many years it's going to be, but he's going to get paid $200 million. So are you ready to spend a lot of your cap money, a lot of your cap influence on two guys? And now, remember, you're going to have to take it somewhere else. You're going to have to, well, maybe you can't pay a safety or two. Maybe you can't pay an offensive lineman or two. So you're going to get weaker in other positions. Now, if you have a GM that's savvy and go out and find guys and secure players on the cheap that are good players, then I think that Veach can do that, then you could be okay. But for the Kansas City Chiefs to pay him $20 million and then go out and pay Patrick Mahomes whatever it's going to be, you know, I can't even – maybe – $40 million, that's a lot of money. And remember, the NFL is set up for parity. The NFL is set up so that everybody has an opportunity, because that's what makes this league so interesting to have so much success. So if you put yourself in a position where you put a bunch of money into really two guys, then you're going to be hurting on the other end. In the long run, it's better for the Chiefs to see if they can shop Chris Jones. In the short run, if the Chiefs want to win next year's Super Bowl, maybe the Super Bowl after that, you keep Chris Jones. But in the long run, it's going to hurt the Chiefs when it comes down to contracts and trying to keep guys around. Any thoughts on that?
So clearly you said, like, I think we all agree, if they were able to get a first-round pick,
right,
that would be probably best case scenario for everyone involved. What's your cutoff as far as return? It would be better for the Chiefs to get a second-round pick than to sign him to a long-term deal? Would you go as far as a third round? Is it just a first round pick that you think that would be the better option? Because, look, the option of keeping, and I know it would be a lot of money, but, I mean, the option of keeping Chris Jones, an unbelievably talented defensive lineman in his prime, would certainly help their chances of winning this year and next year. But then we start getting into, you know, more of a cap situation. But what would the cutoff be as far as trade return if you can't get a first-round pick where it would not be a good deal for the Chiefs?
As of right now, I would say that it's got to be a first-round draft choice. And right now you have Chris Jones on the franchise tag, so you're going to pay him some good money this year to play. So you have that in your back pocket. Now, I just don't see Chris Jones not playing next year and turning that money down. Although he may get talked into it, but I think it's bad advice. It's hard to make that money back. Even if you sign a huge contract and the year after, you still have to make back that, you know, whatever it is, $15 or $16 million, whatever. What is the franchise tag for him?
16.1.
It's hard to make that back. So what are you going to do? I mean, you remember, you're losing $16 million, so you're going to have to double or triple that in order to make it back. So I think the Chiefs, as of right now, if somebody offers you a first-round draft choice and you feel that that's going to be good for your team, then you go ahead and do it. I would not go to a second round or a third round yet. But if it gets to the point where, you know, he is, you know, tying you up with all kinds of different issues and different contract scenarios and all kinds of stuff, just like what happened with Clowney, it gets to the point where, you know, the two just can't get together, they just can't see eye to eye, and you just wish both luck and you go on with your life. You know, it's not personal, it's business. And I don't think it's personal. The one thing that I like about Chris Jones, although I'm not too thrilled with, you know, some of the advice he's listening to from Bell, but you know, I like about Chris Jones is Chris Jones, he's, even though it's business, he still has, to for the most part, kept his personality the same, where he's a happy guy, he likes being on the field, he loves being around his teammates, he's a good guy in the locker room, you know, he's a really, really good guy in the community, all that stuff, he's kept that going while this business stuff has been hanging over him. But eventually it gets to the point where that business stuff just seeps into everything and it starts to eat you up, and you start to get to the point where, you know, you lose a little bit of that, I guess, that euphoria of being an NFL football player and being a part of the Kansas City Chiefs and winning a Super Bowl. It just kind of seeps in and seeps in and seeps in, and it starts to, you know, get into that consciousness. So if that happens, then, you know, maybe the Chiefs have to decide, hey, listen, this is just isn't for us. But as of right now, you know, Chris Jones, he's doing what he thinks is best for him. The Chiefs are doing what they think is best for them. They're going to have to come to some kind of conclusion here. But right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are giving him $16 million to play for 1 year of football. And, you know, that's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all. But you know, he's going to ask for more. Now, will the Chiefs pay for that or not? It remains to be seen.
I just don't see how. I really don't. Yeah. I never have from day one. I feel like my opinion has been that the chance of signing Chris Jones to a long-term contract went away when they gave Frank Clark the contract they gave him. And I'm fine with that. I don't want to see Chris Jones go. Yeah. But they needed to improve the defense to win that first Super Bowl. Before you worry about what's next, they needed to bring in Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark to get this defense to where it needed to be. And if that means that you only get another year or two of Chris Jones, but you get a Super Bowl out of it,
I think everybody
wins.
How can
you fault that, right? Like, I can't blame the Chiefs for that. We wanted them to go out and improve this defense. And in life, there's a price to everything, and you're going to pay that price down the road, and this is probably what we're seeing from that, right? I mean, like, but would we all wish that they just hadn't brought Frank Clark in and signed Chris Jones to a contract extension last year? That would have been the time to do it.
Well, here's the thing, guys. The Chiefs have made a lot of really, really good moves. They brought in Clark. They brought in Mathieu. You know, they won a freaking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, right? They won
a
Super Bowl.
It's the only good thing that's happened in 2020.
And you know what? So, you know, it's going to affect you eventually. I mean, that's just part of it. And, you know, so, yeah, I wouldn't trade in, and I don't think Chris Jones would trade in anything for that Super Bowl. And I do think that Chris Jones, when he sits back and thinks about it, he says, you know what, we got a really good opportunity to win one more Super Bowl. That's not going to preclude him from asking for more money. But when it comes down to blank cutting time, he's going to...
Oh, come on, say it.
Yeah.
This is, you know,
when it comes down to net cutting time,
he's
going to be on the field wanting to win another ring. It is so unbelievably special to win a Super Bowl ring. It is so unbelievably special to be on a Super Bowl team. It's so unbelievably special to be in it with a group of guys in a locker room trying to repeat. I was talking to Neil Smith last night, and Neil Smith said, you know what, that second year was really, really hard, but we had a bunch of really good guys in the locker room that we really focused in, and we found a way to repeat. And when he was with Denver, so if they could find a way to repeat, man, you become legendary. There's, you know, you're going to have generational money either way, Chris. You're going to have generational money, okay? Your grandkids will be spending your money. But But you know what? If you can go out and get another ring or two, and you have, you know, you get to put those on your trophy case, you have three Super Bowl rings, there's nothing they ever replace that. And I know it's hard to see right now.
Thank
I
you.
Really and truly
Not
thank
do. You. Time.
I know it's no, really I, and truly hard to see that because right now, you know, you're just you're a young guy and you want to make a lot of money and you want to, you know, and a lot of it is you know, hey, I'm worth this. You know, it's embarrassing to me and it's kind of a slap in the face to me that I'm not getting paid like, you know, Aaron Donald or whatever. But you're winning Super Bowl rings, man. You know, every time I look at that national championship ring I have, I think of the guys on that football team. I think of the sacrifice that we all put together to do that, and I think of the doubters, and I think of all the challenges that we had that year, and nothing could replace that. I wouldn't trade that ring in for $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million. I swear to God, I wouldn't do it. And I know that a lot of people out there, what are you talking about? Those memories, when you're laying on your deathbed and you're thinking back, and the last thing you think about is, you know, well, not the last thing, because I hope you think about your family and the love you have for your family and your wife and your kids and all that. But the second last thing you think about is that winning that national championship ring or that Super Bowl ring. It's not about how many zeros are in your bank account.
How much money all your relatives are going to fight over after
Absolutely.
You die.
Yeah. You know what? Your kids will be spending your money and their kids will be spending the money. And, you know, you know, you don't need to feather everybody's nest.
You know what? You know what, Grunny? To take that to
right?
A,
yeah.
Say that again. Yeah. Say that again.
You right. don't, Chris. You don't need to be feathering everybody's nest.
But you can feather my nest if you want.
Right. If you want to right. feather a nest,
you don't have
to.
My dad say that all the time. If you think I'm going to feather your nest, that ain't going to happen. Right. I'm going to die with my last quarter getting a newspaper, and he did basically.
God
but,
bless him.
It's okay for everyone to wet their beak.
Right.
Wet your beak.
Yeah, but you don't need to have your nest feathered in order to wet your
beak.
Thank
you for saying all of that, because I get so frustrated. And I understand everybody wants to win a whole bunch of Super Bowls, all right? But I'm old enough to remember when we all just wanted to win one Super Bowl.
I just wanted to go to a Super Bowl.
You have to win one.
Me too.
Before you win two or three or four or several. Look. Frank Clark, if there's anyone that says now they shouldn't have signed Frank Clark, what? Then, first of all, then you're not a Chiefs fan because then you don't care that they won a Super Bowl. What, like, what in the hell is wrong with you? After he got healthy, he had 7 sacks in his last 8 games, and then in the 3 postseason games, he had 5 sacks. He had 3 sacks against Houston. He had a sack against Tennessee that ended the game. And then he had another sack against the 49ers. And remember, if that doesn't convince you, then I will make you sit in a dark room with a loop on 2 televisions. On one of them, Dee Ford lining up offside on a play that could have ended the championship game and sent the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. And we will take a look at what Frank Clark did on 4th and 10 when the Super Bowl was on the line. And he put the pressure necessary on Jimmy Garoppolo to blow that play up. It was one of the top 5 most important reasons why the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. He made huge plays. He did exactly what they paid him to do. They paid him to help get this team over the hump in the postseason, and they won an effing Super Bowl about it. And, oh, by the way, he's still in his prime. What the hell are we talking about? Should they have signed Frank?
Yeah, and I know we got to get to a break, but you know what? The one thing that people don't realize unless you have been in that world, Frank Clark kept that room together. Frank Clark kept Chris Jones and Passanio and all those guys. I mean, he's a leader in that room. And you bring a guy in like that, and all those guys' games all stepped up a level. You saw Passanio making plays and doing a lot of great things. You know, that defensive line this year was a strength. Why? I mean, coincidence. Thanks. No coincidence that Frank Clark coming in and with his energy and enthusiasm and his toughness reflected in that room. So that's another thing you have to remember.
So Grunny, the point you made about winning a Super Bowl is a great point, but I would take it even a step back from that. Just being a guy that has worked for franchises that have both won and lost, the difference in your quality of life When you, my first year doing play-by-play for the KU women's basketball team, they went 0-16 in the Big 12. They didn't win a game. The 4 years I traveled with the Kansas City Royals, they lost 100 games every year. But I've also had a chance to be on a, you know, be on the sidelines for a KU football team that won an Orange Bowl, and Sporting Kansas City teams that have gone to the playoffs and won. Just working with the team, let alone being on the team, let alone playing the team, your quality of life is so much better when you're just on a winning team. And Chris Jones has always been on a winning team in the NFL. And I know it's easy for me to tell somebody else how to value their money or not, but I'm just, I mean, you've been there too. You've been on Chiefs teams that won and teams that lost. And your day in, day out, you know, quality of life, people don't understand how much it drags everyone down when you're on a team that's losing all the time.
When you're on a team that's losing all the time, you look at guys in front of you and they have a pyramid of the games that are left and they're scratching them off one by one, getting ready for the season to be over. They're counting down to the end of the season because they're so sick of being there because you're losing. You don't see that when you're winning. So, yeah, there's a lot of that too. So, yeah, I mean, quality of life, everything else, but you know what, younger guys that are playing in the league, they want to secure the finance so they could be secure and stuff for the rest of life. And the other thing is, a lot of it is ego. I mean, they don't want, you know, people are paid by what they other people think they're worth, and they want to feel like they're worth more than everybody. And that's part of the things that drive a lot of players, is it drives it to be the best. And the only way that you can be the best individually is by what you're paid. Now, collectively, it's by what you win. Individually, it's by what you're paid. So once you get that individual satisfaction, then, you know, then you worry about the team thing. That's just the natural way it is. It's not the other way around. But the older you get, you realize that that team thing is really the shiny little object in the room, and it's particularly not the finances, because you're making generational money anyways. I mean, you're never going to spend all the money that you're making. Well, you could.
Well, I think there's some players that challenge.
There is. Right. Yeah.
I could do it really easily.
Right. I think we need.
Give me the money and send me to Vegas.
Kurt Schilling on line one.
We need to hook you up with tax advisor Platinum Mike Perry from the UFC.
Jake.
Give you his thoughts.
Jake, it's a lot of work to spend that money. It'd be a lot of work.
I'm willing to do the work.
I know you're willing.
I'm willing to do the work.
He's never shied away from
Hard work is my middle name.
Real quick, Stephen, if I can. Listen, I don't know if you know about this, but July 18th, American Shaman is having a huge party down in the Lake of the Ozarks at the Old Mill Marina, which they'll have like samplings of all kinds of different sparkling waters and teas and everything else. It's from 1 to 5, so come on down. It's free for everybody. If you're going to be down at the lake on July 18th, stop down at the Old Mill Marina and hang out with, I'll be down there with Sarah. I hope you can come down with Susan, Stephen. That'd be great to have you down there. And it's going to be a big party down at the lake. So if you have an opportunity, CBD American Shaman, you can go online at CBD American Shaman and get some more information. But our friends, that they want to have a big party down at the lake, and there'll be social distancing and mask and everything else, but you can try out some of the new products that they have down there. So come and join us July 18th from 1 to 5 down at the Millstone Marina.
We will take a break. When we come back, Tim Grunhard will tell me what he thinks of the picture I posted on Twitter to promote his appearance today on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Tim Grunhard is in studio with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Timmy, were you a fan of the Cam Newton signing?
Yeah, I was. First of all, I love having guys like Cam Newton in the NFL. You know, this is an entertainment business, and he's a entertainer. He's a hell of a player. He's got a big personality. He makes the NFL better. He's a big, intimidating, strong quarterback that does a lot of things that other people can't do. So it's fun to watch him. Now, whether he's healthy or not remains to be seen. If he's healthy, you know, I texted one of our old buddies who who used to be involved with the New England Patriots. And let's see if I have his. I was going to bring it in, but he basically said that Cam realizes that he has to go in there and win a starting job. I'm not sure if I agree with that or not. I think that he's probably going to be given that job. Now, the message is going to be that he has to earn it, but I think he's going to probably be given the job. But it's a one-year deal, and if he doesn't buy in, the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick have said, listen, if you don't buy in and it's not a good situation for both of us, we're going to let you go. And he's going to do it our way. Try not to be, all about me. And I think Cam is going to do a good job of coming in and working hard and doing his thing because he's given another opportunity to play one of the greatest games of all time, and that's the NFL football. So I do think that if it messes up chemistry on that team, and this is what this guy was telling me, that it's just not going to work. I think Cam... I like Cam Newton's personality, although I think at times he loses a little bit of focus. You know, when you're sitting on the bench and you put a towel over your head and you're not paying attention to the game, or you're fighting with media and you're letting them get under your skin, that's not a good thing for you or the organization. But Cam Newton, all the things that I've heard from guys who have played against him or with him, that he's got a good personality and he's a fun guy to be around, and he brings a lot to the locker room when he's in a right state of mind. And I think you go to New England, you're in a right state of mind, you're playing for Bill Belichick, you have an opportunity to make a difference on that team, you have an opportunity to replace a guy like Tom Brady, and if you bring that team to an AFC championship game, or you bring that team to a Super Bowl, then you become legendary. So Cam Newton, there's nothing but good things for Cam if he could just kind of keep it on the up and up, which I think he can. So I like the signing, and once again, it's all for me. It's selfish. I love when the NFL is entertaining, and Cam Newton brings entertainment to the league.
He certainly is, and he's going to a team that has not had a ton of skill position success here the last year at least. But it does look like they've tried to build that team more recently to be less quarterback centric, good defense, decent running game. Do you think he fits in with a team like that?
I would have said no until you look at his stats with I think it was Norv Turner, when he was with Norv Turner, and Norv Turner is more towards the Belichick kind of style. I'm not saying I know it's what's his name, the offensive coordinator,
McDaniels.
Yeah, Daniels. Josh McDaniels.
I know it's his system, but it's Bill Belichick's team. So so
also help 2018's when they drafted McCaffrey too. So that's a big piece.
Yeah, but guys like Sony Michel and those kind of guys, they do pretty good. I mean, you watch Sony Michel and you watch some of the backs, they are more back orientated in the passing game than a lot of teams. So
Between White and Burkhead, they have a nice complement of running backs that can help him out
solid.
In the passing game.
Very solid.
Solid. And you know what? And I think Cam will be okay with that. I mean, he's going to take his shots down the field because he's got a big arm. But those shots will be there because of the underneath stuff. I thought when he was with Carolina, when he wasn't in that kind of offense, that he was put in a situation where he was trying to make too many plays, kind of like a Jameis Winston type of deal where, it was put in a situation where, it's all or nothing. And I don't think that's good for the psyche of guys like Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton, you watch Cam Newton complete, 12 out of 14 passes, then all of a sudden his confidence is big, and he knows he can hit that big pass down the field if people are peeking in the backfield, their safety is not respecting the deep ball. He can hit it because he's got a big, strong arm. And the other thing that I like about it is I know that Bill Belichick is not going to let Cam Newton take some of the shots that he took when he was with Carolina. When you watch Cam Newton play in Carolina, and I'm not saying anything about the coaches that were there, but I know Bill Belichick, and he will be in the ear of referees and umpires and all those officials about taking care of his quarterback, because guess what? He's done it for a lot of years with Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't take a lot of those cheap shots that Cam Newton took. And maybe Cam Newton took those shots because he was trying to make plays, he's running around with the ball and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you, and it, it you may believe me or not believe me, but certain coaches get away with certain things. And I don't think that Bill Belichick is going to let players get away with cheap shotting his quarterback. So I think Cam will have a better opportunity to stay healthy. I think he'll have a healthy respect for Bill Belichick because Bill Belichick is going to go to bat for him with some of the cheap shots and some of the stuff that he takes. Cam Newton, the first couple of years that Cam Newton was playing in the NFL was brutal to watch some of the hits he took. And, you know, the NFL has adjusted to some of those hits through rules. But Bill Belichick, I promise you, as I'm sitting here in this studio, will not stand for his guy getting hit the way that he got hit in Carolina.
And I do think it's going to be interesting, too, to see if the young skill position players they've recently drafted develop. And because I think we're going to see whether or not Tom Brady really did have enough. Because it seems like people are starting to, oh, yeah, you know, it wasn't Brady's fault last year. He didn't have enough weapons. Watch what he does with the Buccaneers. You got N'Keal Harry, who was a first-round pick last year. See if he develops. They drafted two tight ends in the third round this year. Sonny Michel, we've argued enough about this on the air. That was a first-round pick. You mentioned White and Burkhead as good pass receivers out of the backfield. Edelman is still there, even though I'm sure he's you know, lovesick that Tom Brady's gone. But he's still a nice option. As a guy that's always open on third down. Hey, I'm not saying it's the best. It's nowhere near the Chiefs skill position players, but it's not, I don't think it's as terrible as everyone's describing it.
No, I think they were 28-1 to win the Super Bowl, and I think it moved down to 25-1. I'd make it 20-1. I think that they've moved up those eight spots, that they have a better opportunity by those eight spots to win a Super Bowl with Cam Newton than without Cam Newton. So, It gives them an opportunity.
In the division?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I like the Bills, but the Bills still don't have Bill Belichick. Sorry.
The Bills, ironically, are short one bill.
There.
Ha! Wow. What do you know?
You got to spend some more bills.
Man. They're up to 17-1.
They're up to 17-1 now?
Yeah.
There you go.
They were at 19 earlier in the week, and they jumped up 17.
At one point, they were 25, I think.
Right, something. No, going in the week. So
it's almost like Jake keeps track of. Back at this to wrap this gambling segment up on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles, or screaming memes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're going to stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker do's, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips and dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
No. Because snakes and sparklers are the only ones I like.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now, see, I was afraid to tell you guys to watch that David Spade movie on Netflix because it is very vulgar. And not the highest brow of humor, but all I can say is I laughed out loud.
We're not the highest brow of people.
Yeah, I was going to say,
right.
You're talking to a guy.
Are you trying to sell this thing? Yeah.
No, but I mean
my brow is pretty low.
Yeah.
Because,
let's be honest.
You want to talk about low brow.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'll say that, and they go, that was sophomoric. It's what I need. Lebo watched it. He laughed his ass off. I had somebody send a text message in and say, me and my wife watch it. We laughed.
That's exactly what
my
I need
wife
right
laughed.
Now.
I'm embarrassed.
So it's called The Wrong Missy. It's David Spade, Nick Swardson, and just a bunch of funny guys. And it's Sarah Chalk, who always is would always be in town for Big Slick, who used to be on Roseanne, remember, and Scrubs, right?
Yep.
She's in it. It's a good cat. It was funny. It was one of those nights where I needed just a mindless comedy.
Yep.
Grundy, you and Sarah watch it, and you guys will laugh.
Well, that means we're going to have
it'll
to turn
tickle
off.
You.
We have a new mindless show that we're watching that I'm very, very embarrassed, but I am addicted to it now. Below Deck, Mediterranean.
Oh.
You ever watch Below Deck? It's about
but I will now if you recommend it.
It's about these people that work on one of those big yachts, and then they have people come on, and it's all the drama that they're dealing with, you know, serving these rich people that come onto the boats. But there's a lot of very, very good-looking young ladies are working on the boat, and it's
one of them yachts.
Yeah, it's very. I'm embarrassed that I have gotten hooked on that show. So I don't know why we're watching, but you know that's what happens when you're locked up in a house for months at a time.
You know, we started last
Below
night.
Deck.
What?
They just got released on Netflix, and so I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries hosted by Robert Stack with my grandma.
That show. Yeah, I love
but my
it.
My grandma gets so wrecked. She goes, you know, and she'd just, I can't know, and just and she'd just watch everything and speak her broken form of Spanglish and just would just get so wrapped up. But she loved Robert Stack because he was very handsome.
Oh, he was. He was so dramatic too.
So they have like a new updated version on Netflix, and they drop like 6 episodes. But it's well done. It's I only watched the first episode. There's no host.
What's it called?
Unsolved Mysteries.
Oh,
it's just
yeah.
like 6 Unsolved Mysteries.
I still remember that song. That the music.
Like that? Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Right. And so that had us, man. Right. That first episode, like, I don't know, this is a mystery. And my wife's like, yeah, dummy, that's the name of it. It's a mystery. Like, oh. I said, I guess it's unsolved too, huh? And I got mad because there's no resolution. And she looked at me, she goes, Unsolved Mysteries. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Should have picked that up from the title. Like, but watch it, it's good.
Like the mystery of where was Jake in the playoffs in 2014.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Unsolved mysteries. Absolutely.
I think we could probably solve that.
Good luck.
Well, without Robert Stack. Thank you, Tim Grunhardt.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. I'll be back on Monday. Where am I going to be tomorrow?
Good stuff,
I don't
man.
Know.
Well, all right, buddy. We'll see you later.
You're good stuff.
Yeah.
What's going on there? That was a little.
Yeah, they think the show's
open
over.
Mic night right there. Hey, good
job.
Stuff.
Hey, slap on
Let
the
me
back.
Take my pants off now. Hey, come here.
Pants are off.
Start scratching myself now.
Woo.
Whoa. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.